Thanks, Nick, very much indeed. What a great story. It's just good to hear that familiar story again. If we could just put up the first slide, just to remind us that he is alive, and this is something to celebrate. We've been celebrating with lots of noise and chaos, but I hope in the midst of it, a real sense of celebration that Jesus is alive on this Easter day. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Great. And he's never more to die. That's the amazing thing. The tomb was empty. The body had gone. The signs indicated clearly that something incredible had happened. His body had disappeared, and leaving the grave clothes behind untouched, and no one could explain it. The idea that his disciples had stolen the body was insufficient explanation. And then they even saw him. Mary saw him. Others saw him, and they communicated with him, the risen Jesus, in his new, somehow different body. But it was Jesus. And so his followers went out into all the world, and they were fired up by their experience of the resurrection and their awareness of the constant presence of the risen Jesus with them. And they began to change the world, didn't they? Spreading joy and peace and hope. Christ in you, they declared later. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We could see the second slide, please. We're going to be talking about hope this morning. Hope is my theme. And hope is something that we all long for. I've got a video to show in a moment or two, which includes images of the final week of Jesus' life, his death, and the discovery of the tomb. And it's got words from Ravi Zacharias. Now, Ravi Zacharias is an apologist, which doesn't mean he keeps apologizing for things. It means his job is to explain the gospel. His job is to tell people about Jesus and to argue for this incredible life-changing truth. And so he is there to defend the gospel. And he mentions in the clip you're about to hear a comment by Konrad Adenauer. Now, for those who are not of a certain age, you won't know who he is. Konrad Adenauer was the German Chancellor after World War II until 1963. And he led Germany's post-war recovery and, in fact, the economic miracle that they experienced. He was a devout leader of the Christian Democratic Union. And he had an interesting thing to say about the resurrection. Could we see that clip, please?
Hope is something we all long for. And John, it's important that the listener follow this, not only because I want to find meaning beyond the grave, but if there is no life beyond the grave, what happens to justice? Is there no balance to be set straight afterwards? So hope is not just a particular need in my life for me to see life beyond the grave or to see my loved ones again. It has to do with the quintessential question of justice as well. In Jesus Christ, this is the most beautiful thing about the gospel, the resurrection from the dead, the transformation of three lives. Thomas, who sees the risen Lord, ho kurios mou, ho theos mou, my Lord and my God. The transformation of Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul, who writes one third of the New Testament, and then his brother James. Hope beyond the grave redefines everything. Billy Graham was talking to Konrad Adenauer once. As Adenauer was looking out of the window, Dr. Graham told us the story around a table. And Konrad Adenauer looked at him and said, "Mr. Graham, do you really believe Jesus Christ rose again from the dead?" And Billy Graham said, "Mr. Adenauer, if I didn't, I would have no gospel to preach." He said there was silence. And then Konrad Adenauer said, "You know, Mr. Graham, outside of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I know of no other hope for mankind." And to those of you who are listening to me, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is defining for everything. Let me just say one more thing to you about that. If Jesus were a charlatan, Do you know what he would have said? He would have said, I will spiritually rise again. How do you falsify that after you find the body? He said, no, I am bodily going to rise again. That bodily resurrection was the concrete empirical evidence and the genuineness of the sincerity of the truth of Jesus Christ. I know when I die, I will be with him and also be with my loved ones who have known him and trusted him. Trust him where you are. He gives you hope not only for the future, hope for now, meaning for now, and the moral ground on which to define your life. You see, ultimately the problem is not morality. Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to make bad people good. He came into this world to make dead people live. We are dead to God. He makes us alive to him. You can find that hope in him.
Thank you. Could we go back to the second slide, please? Thank you. I know of no other hope for mankind outside the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a great statement. We're going to look at these two ideas under H-O-P-E, hope. Heaven opened and peace everlasting. What does heaven opened mean for you and for me? I would suggest, first of all, it means salvation. It means a way back to God. A way back to God. Jesus is the Savior of the world. We sometimes sing, for he made us a way by which we have been saved. Jesus died on the cross to bear and to carry the sins of the world, yours and mine. But many people don't know that. You know, we've been seeing adverts like the Tesco's one, which Good Friday is just an opportunity to sell more beer and cider. And Asda and Sainsbury's have withdrawn or refused to sell the Easter egg that tells the story of Jesus. And the National Trust have removed the word Easter from their great British egg hunt. Did you know that in a YouGov poll, Jesus came fourth in relation to things connected with Easter? Number one was chocolate eggs. Number two was bank holidays. Number three was hot cross buns. And after that, Jesus. Apparently 55% of people selected Jesus as having something to do with this weekend. People don't know that he is the Savior of the world, that he paid the punishment that should have been ours, that he suffered death on our behalf, that we might ultimately avoid eternal death. And so he opened heaven's door. Heaven opened through the death of Jesus. Symbolically, the curtain in the temple, we're told, was torn in two from top to bottom. The way into the Holy of Holies was opened, heaven opened through the death of Jesus. And we can come back to God through the death of Jesus. And then he rose again to life, to break the power of death and sin, and to open heaven to all who believe. Back in 387, when Augustine was around, they wrote the Te Deum, which has been said by Christians for generations since, and it has these words in it: when thou hadst overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Heaven opened to all believers. So our response must be, firstly, to believe. To believe. It's not by our good works, not by anything that we've done, that we can get to heaven. Heaven doesn't have to be opened by us being good. In fact, that doesn't work. It's not a case. There may be some here who need to hear this, who perhaps have not been in church for years or not read the Bible or heard the gospel. Maybe you've been in church and still not really heard that it is not how good we are that gets us into heaven. It's not as though we're going to be given a kind of exam question where we answer all the questions. And so long as you get 51% you'll get in. It's not as though there's going to be a weighing up of all the good things we've done and all the bad things we've done. And if we somehow get to 67.5%, then he has to let us in. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. It's not by our good deeds. It's by accepting what Jesus did for us. His one and only perfect life given for you and me. And we say, I don't deserve that, but thank you, Lord. I trust and I believe in your death for me. Has he opened heaven to you personally? If not, today would be a great day to let it happen. But then secondly, heaven opened is an invitation from God. An invitation from God via us to the people in our community, to the people all around us. It's why we're having this great event called Love Coombe Down. In fact, let me show you another brief video. I think it's 55 seconds worth. Just to remind those who know and those who haven't seen this, this is what is happening on May the 7th, here. A taste of some of the things that are going to be happening on the Furze Field on that day. I do encourage you to be there because love has come down to Coombe Down. The love of God is here, and we have an invitation that we need to push out to people. In fact, please, church members, pray about it. Invite people. Let a family bring another family. Make a picnic lunch for them. Bring them along. Invite them. Welcome them. Make them part of it. Let the community out there in Coombe Down know that God loves them and that we love them and that we want them to be part of the family. Because hope is something that we all long for. And the people around us need to hear about Jesus and the life and hope and peace that's in him. If we could go back to the second slide again, thank you. Heaven opened also means life after death, meaning beyond the grave, as Ravi Zacharias said. And many people, maybe most people, have a sense that this life is not all that there is, that there must be something more, that our lives are too important just to be snuffed out at the end and everything lost. Surely it must somehow go on. And what about our loved ones? We long so much to be reunited with them. Isn't it bound to happen? Isn't that what must happen? That somehow it will go on. You know, like Titanic song. Didn't do that very well. But is it just a sentimental wish that somehow life will go on? Well, not necessarily. It's not necessarily going to happen, not without the resurrection. Hope is not just a particular need in my life to see life after death or to see my loved ones again, however big that need is. Christian hope implies transformation of lives. Hope beyond the grave defines everything, and it depends upon the resurrection. But of course, you will have seen the recent research by the BBC, that Christians, or at least those who call themselves Christians, don't all believe in the resurrection. In fact, nearly one in four, 23%, who call themselves Christians do not believe in the resurrection. And among Christians who regularly go to church, only 57% believe in the resurrection. 5% definitely do not believe in the resurrection, even though they go to church, which I guess leaves 38% don't knows. Where are you in that? Does the resurrection matter? Without the resurrection, our lives will count for nothing. They finish in the grave where our bodies lie. All the good in our lives ends with death. Unless God steps in. And this is even true for Jesus. Unless God steps in, he is finished. Unless God steps in, he remains in the tomb. Except we know he's not in the tomb. Unless God steps in, he's finished. Real lasting hope is dependent on the resurrection. Without the resurrection, so we look at Jesus, we have a wonderful example of a loving, godly life lived out in the service and care of others, given totally to humanitarian works and the good of other people. Jesus' life, incredible. Ready to make the ultimate sacrifice of his own life. A life lived out wonderfully, but snuffed out at the end by cruelty, injustice, and death. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. Only a good example. With the resurrection, we have victory. Victory over the ultimate enemy, death. We have a clear statement that love conquers and can never be destroyed. We have a certainty of life everlasting, a sure basis for hope now and even into the future and eternity. And we witness the breaking in of heaven's kingdom now. So as Sharon said at the beginning of the service, healing is possible because after the resurrection, anything is possible. And God is here now and heaven breaks in now. Heaven is open now. So what better day to receive your healing than on Easter Day when Jesus is alive? We have life. Let me repeat what Ravi Zacharias said in the video. He said, the problem is not ultimately morality. Jesus didn't come into this world to make bad people good. He came into this world to make dead people live. We are dead to God, he said. Jesus makes us alive to him. You can find that hope in him. Dead people, alive. Isn't that great? Isn't that something to celebrate? In Jesus. And yes, that means we are looking for and asking to believe the impossible, the unimaginable, unless God. Yes, it requires faith in miracles, but God. And that is the Christian hope. That is what Easter is all about. Heaven opened and experienced now. What about peace everlasting? That's much shorter. The personal peace of knowing Jesus Christ. Personal peace. Jesus is alive, never more to die. He is therefore my friend, yours too. My friend, my savior, my Lord, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my strength, my healer. I could go on and on. Sins forgiven. Washed clean, new life going on into eternity, no fear of death, his constant presence and comfort and strength in all circumstances and in the face of all challenges. That's why persecuted Christians around the world today in Egypt and in India and in China, Nigeria, so many other places, that's why they can keep on going because they have hope in Christ. Without that, they are finished. But he holds them. We must pray for them. Peace even in the midst of conflict. as the world looks as though it's about to blow up with North Korea and the USA and who knows what, or with Islamic State against everybody else, who knows what, but in the midst of it all, those who trust in Christ have hope and have peace, peace everlasting in the midst of it all. I've been staggered by the example and the words of Bishop Angelos of the Egyptian Coptic Church, who after that bomb on Palm Sunday, he called his people not to retaliate. Even though there's much in your heart that might want to, but not to make it worse by retaliating. That's the knowledge of the presence of Christ that makes the difference. Only true peace can be found in Christ, peace everlasting. What does the presence of the risen, living Jesus mean to you this Easter? Are you experiencing heaven opened and peace everlasting? The peace of God which passes all understanding. Is that what keeps your heart? Hope for now and for the future. Peace that overwhelms you with a thankfulness and a solid knowledge that all will be well. That is your inheritance as a Christian. That is your inheritance as a resurrection believer, as the Easter people. At the end of this service, we will be singing that great hymn, In Christ Alone, which has, amongst the other words, these words: In Christ alone, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground. He died, but there in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then, bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave, he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. How can we not celebrate? How can we not lift the roof with such a truth, such a hope? How can we not be solid and unmoved in the peace everlasting that is given by that truth? He is alive. Jesus alive. Can you show me the final slide, please? He is our hope. He is our peace. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.